بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue our discussion on the biography, the beautiful lessons that we have been learning from the life of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawla Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullahi Alayh. And very quickly, just to recap last week, whatever we had discussed, we mentioned the humility of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayh, that the incident of Makki Masjid, when people would come in long, long queues to make musafaha with Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayh. And then he mentioned to Mawla Ihsan al-Haq Sahib, Rahmat Barakatuhum, that you know what dua I make when these people are coming to meet me. I said, oh Allah, I praise you for having given me an outer type of good appearance and acceptance, that people are thinking good of me and you are concealing my weaknesses and my faults. Then we find that Allah Ta'ala gives these people such maqbooliyat. There's two things we must remember. One is qabiliyat and maqbooliyat. Qabiliyat means our ability, our skill. A person is very intelligent, or he's very skillful, he's able to accomplish certain things. Maybe he's a master in the science of hadith, or Quran, or tafsir, or qira'ah. That is qabiliyat. But more than qabiliyat is maqbooliyat, acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person can be a master qari, but he's not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he's not reciting with khushu, khudu, with ikhlas, he's doing it for show. So maybe he's an expert in the field, but he hasn't got maqbooliyat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we always make dua, Allah give us qabiliyat and maqbooliyat, both. Hazrat Shaykh Ahmadullah had maqbooliyat, both qabiliyat and maqbooliyat. We mentioned the different kitabs he had written. And last week also we mentioned that the Syrian alim who had just seen the one part of his sharah of Bukhari Sharif, Lami'ud Darari, and 13 years prior to that, when he had seen this book, the first volume, it was his daily dua that, oh Allah, make me meet this Mawlana Zakariya. And finally in Makkah Mukarrama, when he met him, and he couldn't explain his ecstasy and joy that he actually met this person who had written this kitab. So Allah Ta'ala had given them maqbooliyat also. Even the Sikhs would come to him with water to make dam, for whatever problems they used to have. And of course we explain that his dua, when his father commenced the Mishkat Sharif for him, his father was engaged in silent dua for a very long period. Hazrat Shaykh says, I do not know what dua my father made, but I made dua, Wallah, that give me this tawfiq of teaching hadith and being occupied in this field of hadith right till my dying days. And exactly like that, right till 2 or 3 days before Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali passed away, then too he was checking ahadith, and he had asked Mawla Aqil Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, his son-in-law, to bring one draft copy of some kitab they'd written, and told him to read this so he could make some changes and amendments. Then of course we mentioned he was so particular that in the daras of Mishkar, of hadith, he would make sure he has got wudu all the time. Not a single hadith he wanted to study without wudu. We explained the two incidents which were mentioned about when he was traveling to England, and because of the journey, one was, both were such that there was such a time that Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was concerned about his going to the toilet and making wudu, and it was not going to be, it wasn't a scheduled flight to stop at certain place and refuel or even stop at any airport. It was going to be a direct flight, and impossible for Hazrat then to go to the toilet, relieve himself in an easy condition. He found it very difficult. Allah Ta'ala made the intizam. I mentioned this incident last week, we're not going to discuss again, but Allah made the intizam that the plane had to stop and either pick up passengers in one airport and in the other place where they had to refuel, where very with ease they were able to go to the toilet and even make their salat. For all his works, Hazrat Shaykh Ramal took not even a single penny, a single cent. Fazail Amal, if he had to take royalty on those kitabs, he would have been more than a billionaire. And he had given full permission, as long as people didn't make any alterations in his kitabs, to publish them further. As far as his asfar were concerned, he made sure that he paid from his own pocket. He did not take any money from the host to pay for his tickets. To the end of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah's life, his tahajjud would be 2 hours, chash namaz 3 hours, awabin 1 hour. Out of Ramadan, he would recite 10 paras of the Holy Quran out of Ramadan. In Ramadan, I mentioned the few incidents last week, there's so many khatams they would make in the month of Ramadan. Continuing today, I mentioned it's going to be a short program because Isha is late, Fajr is early, so it's important for us to make sure we are pardon for Salat, especially Fajr Salat, we should not be delaying. There are 3 incidents which Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, I mentioned his name so many times now, in Bari, who was very close to us, the Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, was his Khalifa also. So he mentions some incidents, many incidents he has mentioned, but just one or two I will mention tonight, inshallah. One was, Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, was studying, and whilst he was studying, he was a student still. His brother, Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, another very great Buzurg. Both of them were studying by Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, whilst he was studying, Allah Ta'ala had given him such piety, such taqwa, khawf of Allah Ta'ala, that there came a period in his life when he was overwhelmed with the fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, khawf of Allah Ta'ala, and that would make him cry excessively. So his brother, Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahab, Rahmatullahi Ali, who used to be in Chipata in Zambia. So at that time they were studying there in Saharanpur. So he took him to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi. Hazrat, this is the problem. That he is crying all the time out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, Akhirat, and he's becoming overwhelmed. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi answered, he said, none of the two, hope or fear, should overpower the other. None of the two, neither hope nor fear, should overpower the other. If either one supersedes the other, then a loss is incurred. In other words, there must be a balance. You have khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have raja and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is a ghalba, if there is dominance of either khawf of the person, then this will happen. He'll cry, he'll feel... He'll be weeping. Of course, it's extremely important. We've been mentioning the hadith on crying out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this also has to be within the limits. It must not be such the whole day the person is crying. Because then the loss will be such, he'll become sick. He'll become ill, he'll become weak, he won't be able to eat, he won't be able to do the ibadat as he ought to do it. So therefore there has to be this balance. And as this, on the other side, having such hopes in Allah ta'ala that you have no fear, then again, you are not going to be able to accomplish those commands that Allah Ta'ala has commanded you with. Therefore, there must be a balance whilst you are in this world between raja and khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if one supersedes the other, then a loss is incurred. So this was a lesson for all of us, that we need to develop in ourselves khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Probably be in the other extreme, we just have hopes Allah is Ghafur Rahim, indeed, and Allah will forgive me. But the khawf of Allah Ta'ala, Qiyamah, Hashar, Malakul Maut is going to come, death is a certainty. So we have to develop this khawf of Allah Ta'ala as well. Another thing was appreciating the favors of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And we find this also common amongst our mashayikh ulama. When it came to food and wastage of food, they were very, very particular, very careful. I can mention other incidents also, but we just mentioned this incident of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. He said he was going for Maghrib Salah, and opposite his house was a vacant land, empty land, where people would throw their rubbish, the dirt used to be collected there. So Hazrat Shaykh was going for Maghrib, and he saw that just before that, watermelon was cut. The khadims had cut watermelon and given the guests. And when he came close to the dump, he saw red pieces of the watermelon that was left with the peels. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah went there, immediately he rebuked those khadims. First of all, he said that you should have learned how to cut these pieces of watermelon, Now you have left some watermelon, some pieces still on the peel. He made them collect that, cleaned it. After Isha, he brought it, or it was brought. He said, this was thrown in the dump. Many of us, Allah forgive us, the fruit, how we waste it. We don't eat it correctly. Now this is a little bit red, that pulp that was there. That's also a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To us, we ate the main part of the watermelon and the rest is thrown. And of course, I mentioned, I think, I don't know how many times. And other ulama also mentioned, our nikahs, there has to be a stop. The manner in which we are wasting money. Regardless of who the family is and how rich they may be and what contacts they have with ulama and mashayikh, it means nothing. This is haqq and I will speak it, inshallah. So it is not pointing at any person and which family and who and why. We all are guilty of this. Our nikahs has to be simplified. And if we are not going to do this, then we are not going to expect Allah Ta'ala's mercy to come. So this is something that we need to pass on this message to our family members, our friends, our relatives. Ulama should not even attend those nikahs. Especially when they're having these functions of eating, etc. And there's going to be so much of wastage. I mentioned previously, people may not understand or maybe disagree. I will not go into any controversies. I'm very careful in these things. RSVP, we understand everything in its place. But imagine we have come to that we have to have this RSVP simply because it's going to cost me so much of money to feed so many guests. And I need to know if you're coming differently or not. It is, what kind of da'wat is this? It's impossible for many of us to even say that 2 weeks time or 3 weeks time, I will be able to attend your function. So many things can happen till then. If I said I'm coming, I made a promise, and then I'm breaking my promise. If I say I do not know, then that's another story. Why is all this happening? We want to prove to society, we've got a name. So where is the ikhlas? Where is the barakah? Rasulullah said that the greatest barakah, or the greatest of nikah in barakah, the most blessing is that nikah in which there is the least amount of expenses. Now this is something which is extremely serious, very serious. And if we're not going to put a stop in this in our families and our friends, then we're not going to find the mercy of Allah Ta'ala coming, and there'll be zero barakah in that nikah. Then the same couple, Allah forbid, Allah save us, then they have a problem, and this talaq, and this problem, and that problem. Look at the lives of Rasulullah, his nikahs, his family members. Yes, in one or two instances, walima, there was a little bit more than what they had. But this does not mean that we must go and incur such expenses and do such haram things. We'll start with the qiraat and we'll have the morana give a bayan. But before that nikah, the entire week, there was only haram practices taking place. Even after the morana is gone, and in the walimas, there's music and so many other things. Bridal showers, this, that. All those customs are against our sharia. So this is something all of us have to take into very serious light and pass it on to others. May Allah forgive us. May Allah give us a tawfiq. Don't look down upon people and criticize people, no. But advise them. And let us be serious when we advise them. And we should bring this into our lives, a simple nikah. Spend that money on your children. Buy them a house if you have the money. But don't waste that money in draping the entire hall with curtains and bring such carpets that you're not going to use in your life again. How much of taklif and how much of food is just absolutely wasted and thrown away? When we cry that the ummah is suffering and this famine, this drought in parts of Africa and the world, and then, why you don't talk about current affairs, and why don't we do this, and why don't we do that? Why don't we get our own house in order first? May Allah forgive us, may Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to understand and change these simple things which are very, very important in our lives. Now look at this. A thing like watermelon. Not the whole watermelon or chunks were thrown. Just the piece that we see on the pulp on the peel. Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad he could not even see this amount being wasted. We have mashayikh also, that when we eat bread and especially the sesame bread, we find. And Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah, we saw him with our own eyes. He would collect all that and eat it. Nothing was thrown away in the plate. Even when we're traveling, there is no need even to take that food, but if a person ate the fruit, whatever it is, we're taking those trays and platters and we're giving it, they take the entire thing and they throw it away. We are answerable in the day of Qiyamah. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ Ulama explained in the verse, tafsir of this verse, on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be questioned regarding the bounties Allah gave you. One of the things is cold water on a hot day. Allah will ask you how you drank it. Did you make shukr after drinking it? Did you thank Allah Ta'ala? Did you bring about any change in your life and do a good action after drinking that ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Murtala Rahman explains some examples. He says that in Madina Munawwara is Masjid Nur where Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to stay, a very famous place. We had been there, and as the Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali was there, and now he was leaving, so they had to lift Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali into a vehicle. So as they just put him, he was still not seated properly and his hand was still on the door. And the Khadim didn't realize, someone of them, whoever was there, closed the door and his thumb got stuck there. And then they realized, so they quickly opened the door again. Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali's entire thumb and the nail had gone black. Now, can you imagine the pain? If somebody does that to me, I don't know about you, but if somebody does that to me, I would be extremely mad, angry. I would rebuke that person. I would shout him. Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, despite the excruciating pain he was suffering, did not even ask by who closed the door. He didn't even ask, let alone reprimanding the person. He didn't even ask by who closed the door. Now this is the sabr these people had, the tahammul. The man made a mistake. Of course, it was ghaflat on his side. You should have checked first. But Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali made this sabr. Then one incident, it was the day of Eid. Mawlana Yusuf Murtala Rahmatullah Ali says that the crowd was big also. And after Eid Salat, then I had to leave for Gujarat. It was in India. The time Hazrat Sheikh was there. So from Saharanpur, he had to go now to Gujarat. But he said, you know, he was very close to Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali. And the more closer you are, then you become a bit sensitive, where sometimes you expected something to happen to you and it didn't happen to you. And sometimes there's a great lesson in this. Nonetheless, before we digress, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Murtala Rahmatullah Ali goes back home, he's feeling low the whole day. He writes a letter to Hazrat Sheikh. Hazrat, two things I found. And he was quite frank and open. He said that you didn't give me any food, any provisions for my journey, onward journey. And you didn't give me that hug, that embrace as I was leaving. Hazrat Sheikh Ramadan wrote back. And he says that why shouldn't I have given you a hug and embraced you? There was no reason for that. Except that I desired that, but I saw no inclination from your side coming forward. So I too didn't embrace you. If I saw that inclination from your side coming forward, then I would have embraced you. But you from your side also, you didn't show that inclination. So I did not embrace you. He's making it Islam. And the second thing, as far as provisions, he said, I thought about it. I had every intention to provide, give you some provisions. In fact, I made some preparations for you. But then I realized that your journey will be such that you're stopping over at Nizamuddin and you'll be there on time for supper. There was no need for them to give you any provisions because you'll be having supper at Nizamuddin. Therefore, I did not give you anything. Now look at Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah's hikmat also. He didn't burden him with giving him provision that how, now what he's going to do with that. If he's going to eat at a place so he won't waste that food also. And as far as the Islam is concerned, if you showed that inclination and you came forward, I would have definitely given you that hug and that embrace. So these are a few incidents that I read about Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali related to us by Mawlana Yusuf Murtala Rahmatullah Ali. Inshallah, very quickly now we'll just run through the i'tikaf of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali towards the end of his life. And this i'tikaf was in Stanger. And because now we are in this country and we had been there, alhamdulillah, and those of us who had witnessed that i'tikaf of the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali will bear testimony to the fact that that anwarat, the ronak, is something that we can never describe. I remember there was an article in the Daily News at that time, if there was Daily News, but newspaper, They had the small writing, write up, Mini Makkah in Stanger. Mini Makkah in Stanger. That was the headlines. And people from all different walks, types of life had been there. People who had a different perception of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, who were very, very against him. When they saw him, many had even come, according to the writings, they had asked him for forgiveness when they saw whatever personality he was. It is a place where great, great ulama came, hufaz, there was dhikr taking place, taraweeh, durood and salam, dua, bayans. So, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali would perform his etikaf, mostly in Saharanpur, and for some time, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali had this fervor within him to revive the dhikrullah and the effort in the khankas. So, Mona Yusuf Tutla Sahab Rahmatullahi Ali, of course, another very, very great buzurg of ours who passed away not long ago from Stanger. All of us know him and knew him well. So he said he was also bayat to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Ali, and he was instrumental in bringing Hazrat Shaykh to South Africa. May Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr also with noor. He says, I was restless to bring Hazrat to South Africa, but when I so observed his condition, I would stay quiet. Still I never lost hope. And then a few years back, he said, I saw a dream that predicted Hazrat's coming. He said, I saw a dream that people are being informed in Stanger Masjid that Hazrat is arriving in 1 or 2 days. Now, this is a dream Tutla is seeing. He says, in the dream, I'm anxious, thinking, how is this going to happen? And how are we going to make arrangements on such a short notice? Finally, the day came and nothing has been arranged. And yet I'm looking for a place near the Masjid to accommodate Hazrat. As a Shaykh Rahmatullahi. And then he woke up. So he said, this dream raised my hopes. After the journey to London, the subject came up as where Hazrat Shaykh is now going to make his next Ramadan, where he's going to spend his next Ramadan. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi himself then said, Africa should be given priority over the US. Since our good friends like Maulana Yusuf Tutla lives in South Africa. He said, thereafter I stopped over at Medina on my way to Dioband in March 1980. Hazrat said, ask me, what brings you here? So one of Hazrat's Khadim said, Hazrat, he has come to take you with him. Hazrat replied, my beloved, I'm frail and I can barely make it to but make dua for me. This raised my hope still. Then after the Ijtima in US, Mahatullah says, I came to Faisalabad, Pakistan. And then the moment Hazrat saw me, Hazrat said, I've been thinking about you for a couple of days. We are coming to your place. Hazrat Shaykh still is talking to him, then the Khadim said, we are coming to your place. So I asked Hazrat, on this journey, obviously it wasn't on that journey. He said, we will discuss it with Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Sahab, Rahmatul Ali, Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki, who should come here also. He was also very, very, very close Khalifa and a student of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatul Ali. He used to drive Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali whenever she make safar. Hazrat Shaykh was very happy with his driving. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali would send him, this everybody cannot understand, Hazrat Shaykh would send him to the Rosa Mubarak to make muraqabah there. And many of the things, of course they would make dua to Allah Ta'ala, tawajjuh to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but then they would be inspired and given some type of guidance as to what they should do and undertake certain journeys, etc. So Abdul Hafiz Makki Rahmatullah Ali used to be sent by Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali didn't make any commitments. He said, we will discuss it, we will make mashura, etc. And then they had written a letter to Yusuf Tutla Rahmatullah Ali. Then Mawlana Yusuf Tutla Rahmatullah Ali had written to Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki and he said, you should come to South Africa for the Tablighi Ijtima' that is going to take place and you can come and assist the areas that we are talking about, and then you can explain to Hazrat so he gets peace of mind. So they were coming to South Africa, and after Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki saw Rahmatullah Ali, he was very happy. And a few days after that, there's a Dr. Ismail Maiman Rahmatullah Ali, also his son Mawlana Ibrahim Maiman in the US. So Mawlana Dr. Ismail Maiman, very close to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, also his Khalifa. He telephoned Mawlana Yusuf Tutla and he said, it looks like Hazrat is deciding to come to Stanger. But obviously it will be finalized in the month of Rajab. There was some correspondence that was written by Hazrat Shaykh to Mawlana Yusuf Tutla. I'll just quickly read a few points from there. Hazrat Shaykh wrote to Mawlana Tutla Sahib, he said, I haven't heard from you lately. I was also very sick during this time. It was difficult to write or listen to even to letters. I wish to spend Ramadan at your place from a long time. But this year the inclination is even more stronger. It has been my routine to perform istikhara many months prior to Ramadan, and I have been doing it for the last 15 days. May Allah Ta'ala bless wherever He decides for my Ramadan. I've been told from different people that they are seeing dreams and glad tidings indicating that I will be spending it in your place. However, nothing is confirmed yet. This will be clarified in the first week of Rajab. If your place is decided, then I will arrive on 15th of Shaban and depart on the 15th of Shawwal, 2 months. You sent a letter many days ago to Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki, but he wasn't there, so I sent it to Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki in Makkah, as the Shaykh wrote. Then he says, I'm writing some things ahead of time. It's also a lesson for us now. For your ease and information, so that if you have any questions, you can ask me now. He says, you've always been sending some hadiyah gifts. Of course, these mashayikh would take gifts from people who they knew. Well, Yusuf Tutla Rahmatullah Ali was bare towards the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. So, he would send gifts, Hazrat would accept it. He said, but since this journey is for a very specific reason, and you are hosting the event, or you will be hosting the event, subject to Hazrat Shaykh coming, he says, I leave the matter in your hands. If anyone wishes to give gifts, then it is your responsibility now to refuse those gifts. He says, I should be accommodated in a building that is under your management, but which can accommodate a large gathering of people. There were 1,000 people in the beginning of Ramadan in Faisalabad, which increased to a couple of thousand before the end of the month. So he's telling him the type of crowd that he normally gets. And I'll be staying in one place only. I have heard your house, at the time Mawlana Tukla's house was very small, and the masjid are small, and Ahmad Mia and Ibrahim Mia, Ahmad Mia and Ibrahim Mia from Mia's farm, their places are larger. Anyway, you may discuss on which is the best place for my accommodation. As the Sheikh said, I'm coming to your place, means I'm coming to South Africa. Now whether it's going to be Transvaal, Mia's farm or Stanger, he said, now you must discuss it. I prefer to stay in your place, but I have heard that it is too small. Furthermore, you are not allowed to pay for the expense of those accompanying me on this trip. I will have 5 people with me. The cost of the round trip is solely my responsibility. Gifts would not be accepted. I mentioned this. Then he mentioned the exception of 2 people. One was Qazi Abdul Qadir Sahib, rahmatullah. He had come. And Mufti Mahmood Sahib, rahmatullah. Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi, rahmatullah, was already well known because he had students who studied by him. Our Maulana, rahmatullah, also studied by him. The Pandol family, many of them studied. Many of our satyas studied by Mufti Mahmood Sahib in Deoband. Some did the iftar by him. So they already knew him, and Mufti Sahib already had murid in South Africa. So he said, besides Zeus, these 2 people, they will be given full permission to accept the hadiyah from their murid and their students. Other than them, nobody else who's accompanying me can accept any gifts. Then very important. This was his main fikr. He said, gather as many zakirin as you can until the 15th of Shaban. Then he said, I'm very sick. You take responsibility for the stay with me for one day, or stay for one day. In other words, what he said is, somebody might say, bring Hazrat Shaykh one day to our place. Somebody else said, one day, he said, you take responsibility to explain to those people that I'm not going to go move from one place to another. I'll be staying at your place. And he says, there should be no formalities in terms of food. I like the Chacha Saadi invitation of Shiraz. None of us will understand what this is. The whole explanation is, there was a story of Sheikh Saadi, rahmatullah, he was invited by one of his students. Sheikh Saadi was a great person, so the student had nice meals prepared for him. So Sheikh Saadi saw variety of dishes, so many platters of food. So he was about to take on morsel, he said, Hi, the invitation of Shiraz. The student thought, maybe I prepared too less. In any case, after that, after a few days, he gave Sheikh Saadi another dawat, prepared even more food. Again, Sheikh Saadi says, hi, the invitation, the dawat of Shiraz. Student felt again, I need to prepare. Sheikh Saadi, my ustad, great person. Third time he called him. And even more lavish meals. Again he says, hi, the invitation of Shiraz. So now the student says, Hazrat, explain to me. What are you talking about? Is my food not right? I'm preferring too less for you. He said, okay, come to my house in a couple of days and I'll explain to you. So he was invited. Student now invited by the ustad. So Sheikh Saadi Ramadan invites him. The student comes. Sheikh Saadi goes and he brings dried bread and leftover food. Sat down and ate with him. And he says, this is the invitation of Shiraz. Then after a short while he said, your invitation only lasts a few days, while the invitation of Shiraz can be held every day of the year. Something for all our mothers and sisters to understand. You give a dawat, you prepare 10-course meal, you cannot sustain for long then. Next time Jamaat is coming or some Maulana coming, you know, it's a bit heavy. You can ask somebody else. But you're having simple food. I'm not asking now to give the Jamaat's dried bread and a buzruk khamna, obviously. But give them simple food. You don't have to go over. Oh, Hazrat Maulana, again I'm going to digress. He was very, very, very particular on this. Don't give your woman folk the taklif. Yes, they're doing it happily. But now you inviting 30, 40 people after Isha, okay, they eat, they're going, who's going to clean up them? The same lady, whole day she was busy in the kitchen. She's going to clean the kitchen and wash the dishes. Have raham on her. Any case, so as the Sheikh mentioned, don't have lavish meals. He says, just one or two dishes, one variety of dishes. Then he says, gather as many zakirin as you can to those who promise to devote the time for dhikrullah. And he says, I remember my uncle, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah, that if someone gave him a gift, he said, I don't want your gift, I want you. More important than your gift is I want you. Now, of course, Maulana Ilyas Sahab wanted the person to come out in Jamaat and go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any case, after the letter came, then Maulana Yusuf Shukla, Rahmatullah, Ibrahim, Ya, and all they had made, they'd seen the venues, then finally they decided that, no, obviously it was better in Stanger. And there were so many reasons to present to us, the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, that the itikaf should take place in Stanger. And Allah Ta'ala's fazal. See, Allah chooses the spot where His masjid is going to be built, a madrasa will be built, an ijtima will take place, a johor will take place, and itikaf, which masjid? Allah chose Stanger. Until today, of course, those of us who go to Stanger, and we had seen Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's itikaf there, you will still feel something in that masjid. There's no doubt about it. You feel in that one corner where Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to be, and he had his itikaf gah there, you still feel something there. And you find that, alhamdulillah, the Stanger people, you see, they went out of their way in making khidmat. Such khidmat they made 24 hours. Our Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali's father, Baji, it was his duty at 3 o'clock to take the tea for the elders. 3 o'clock in the morning taking hot tea for them. And like that, the Stanger people went out of their way. Till today, khidmat, we'll talk about the Stanger people. That's why the Halim also is very good. And anytime, ishtimas and all, you find Stanger Sathis, mashallah, they're always ready. Allah gives them the barakat. We can also do that. And we can also have that type of generosity. You don't have to wait for a buzruk to do that. Many people in the street, many people in the location, many people in the squatter camps, and we can give them inshallah with ikhlas, and Allah will give us barakat in our children, and they will also have the zeal to feed the pious people, feed the ulama, feed the jamaats. So he said the masjid was very spacious. We all have seen Stanger Masjid. It was big, and a number of visitors began to grow each day. And he said in the weekends, it exceeded 7,000 people. They had to, I can still remember, they had marquees, they had 3 tents where it accommodated another 3,000 people. And there was a large building adjacent to the masjid which allocated for accommodation, including food and drink for guests who visited during the weekend, as well as the 100 volunteers who served the guests daily. And of course, they put more toilets and bathrooms and so many things. And even for water, he said, because they had cold water supply, then they had two people, or they provided them hot water. Two large water tanks were installed nearby. Two men were permanently assigned to maintain the heat of the water in the tanks 24 hours a day. That was their job. Then of course they had an information center for people who required anything. There was first aid, there was a medical tent, they had so many things. May Allah reward the Imam who temporarily resigned from his duties and also vacated his four-room house for the guests. And this was Mullah Rahmatullahi Ali. His home, this is where that Mawlana Qazi Rahmatullahi Ali, I remember meeting him there. I was a young boy, but we went to visit him there. He was staying at Mullah's house. So another major issue was parking space. And Ajib, Allah Ta'ala makes intizam again. Now, where they want to park? The land wasn't so big, and the people were going to queue. So the government designated the whole road, when you go to Sangha, the whole main road, as parking space, and assigned traffic control police to cordon off the area in the general traffic. So any case, despite all these measures, parking space was still lacking. For Hazrat's comfort, there was a small room built with a permanent commode next to Hazrat's quarters, which made it easy for Hazrat to attend to his personal needs. And of course, they made sure that they gave this water, hot water supply, etc., for Hazrat's Khadim, etc. Arrangement for Sari and Iftar, food and drink, was superb, they say. Volunteers truly showed the open-heartedness and hospitality in this manner, and we explained that already. Hazrat departed on the 4th of Shaban, and before coming to South Africa, there was a dawah given to him from Madagascar. So Hazrat left then. He says he departed on the 4th of Shaban, 6th of June, Saturday after Asr from Medina, reached Badr shortly before Maghrib. After Maghrib, they went to Makkah, arrived 4 o'clock there at Brother Saadi's house after Umrah. They ate, they rested. 14th Shaban, 16th June, he departed for Jeddah on Monday night, arrived at the masjid of Old Jeddah Airport, where a large crowd had already gathered. Mufti Zain al-Abidin Rahmatullah from Pakistan was present. He made the dua. Then Hazrat departed. And there was a Dr. Zafiruddin who had taken permission to take Hazrat through the gate from which the royal family travelled. From Babul Malik. Once they reached, Allah Ta'ala makes it in this name. Once they reached the airport, officials stamped the passports and some people were allowed to board with Hazrat. Plane departed from Jeddah to Madagascar. However, as the plane was not granted permission to land in Madagascar, of course, they were actually, the dawah was given from Reunion. So he was going to Reunion. So they arrived Reunion about 45 minutes early. And despite arriving early, they saw huge crowds of people to make istiqbal. People heard the name. Allah's friends, they just heard Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria, Buzrug, Wali of Allah. And people without seeing, you'll find people in South Africa began to grow beards just on hearing one great pious person is coming. Okay, when he came there, then Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki Rahmatullah Ali was there and he had made dua. And then Hazrat spent 2 days, very good programs they had. He had made people make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikrullah took place. So I'm not going to go into detail of those things, but Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki had given bayans there. His talk deeply affected the people there. Women started wearing hijab also after that. So there was an inqilab, a change. Then finally, the news of Hazrat's arrival spread throughout the country. People longed to see Hazrat. They said men started growing beards in anticipation. Fervor of deen was never like this before. Each minute, each second being counted for Hazrat's arrival. Finally, he arrives in Durban. Thousands of people yearned for just one glimpse of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat's great Khalifa, Mufti Mahmud Hassan Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, was also already here in Durban, waiting to meet Hazrat. And people had told Hazrat Mufti Sahib to come forward and him to teach them how to meet this great Buzurg. How to even make Musafa and Salam. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was there. Maulana Yusuf Tutla Rahmatullah Ali, Babu Khalik Desai, Haji Bhai Paja Rahmatullah Ali. All these people were there ready to welcome Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali. And the normal tartib in the beginning was individual ibadat after Fajr, then there was rest, then there was breakfast, then Mufti Mahmud Sahib would give a talk from 11 to 12. After this change, one day Mufti Mahmud Sahib would give a talk, and Mullah Abdul Halim Rahmatullah Ali was another very great Khalifa of Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, he would give the talk. So every alternate days they would give talk, then the Khatma Khadgan used to take place, and Dhikr would take place. The Dhikr Majlis individual, there was entire Masjid, they would make individual Dhikr, loud Dhikr. It was something to see. First time we had seen like Dhikrullah taking place. The Surah Yasin should be recited after Isha. Then they used to have Bay'ah to take place. So this is the beginning till Ramadan. Of course in Ramadan the tartib changed also. And I mentioned great buzurgs. Mawlana Yusuf Mutala also had come. Mawlana Abdul Halim, Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And all participated in this i'tikaf. It is mentioned, whoever stepped into this atmosphere felt like an arrow had pierced his heart. He trembled and was permeated with the love of Allah Ta'ala, and he returned with the firm intention to change his life to the way of Allah. Of course, as Shaykh Ahmad was coming also, Allah Ta'ala made it such, the work of Dawat and Tabligh also grew in strength. Fazail Amal, we were young boys at that time, in the back they should have Fazail Amal, Ta'aleem taking place for the students, and this 40 durood that we read, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should make them read. If I'm not mistaken, Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki Rahmatullah used to recite it after Taraweeh. Taraweeh used to be performed by Mawlana Salman Rahmatullah, Hazrat Shaykh's son-in-law, the most beautiful recitation, and he would just flow. He knew his Quran very well, and he used to come to Stango even after that. For years he would come, and he just passed away this year. Allah make his maghfirat also. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali had so many of his khuddam who had come. Another blessing of this atmosphere was that the crowd, despite its enormous numbers, observed calm and they were quiet at all times. Even with the multitudes of people waiting to shake hands with Hazrat, there was never any pushing or shoving. Everyone obeyed the announcements and controlled the desires and emotions in order to keep this peaceful ambience of the gathering. About 6,000 to 7,000 people gathered on the weekends. As the masjid became short of space, and of course I mentioned tents were pitched up, approximately 9 people accepted Islam in those days, and during the gatherings of dhikr, the chanting of dhikr reverberated everywhere, creating a wonderful and ecstatic feeling that made the zakirin oblivious of everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was very brief. For those who want to read the entire, there's a kitab, the Ramadan of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali and the elders. You see how they spent the month of Ramadan. These people, they made the individual ibadat in the month of Ramadan, as I mentioned. So many Quran khatams they would make. Besides that, they benefited the makhluk who would come, the people who would come. And not only zakirin, but people who are like modern also. They would come into the company and suddenly they would find some change. Without even sometimes a bayan, sometimes just one musafa. Now whether we believe it or not, it's regardless. This we have seen so many people in our own lives, who outwardly we thought, astaghfirullah, he's a modern person, got no beard. And in the company of some buzurg, next minute you can't believe it's the same person who you had seen previously. So this is the benefit of Ahlullah. In the sitting, just that musafa sometimes, of course Ahlullah, any person, just that musafa, something generates, that thing we cannot describe, we can't understand. Allah Ta'ala makes it such, just in the company. So it's not only the dumb water that we go to them for. We take badam and honey. This is the people will come with water for Hazrat Shaykh to make dumb the bottles. Finally, they have to bring two big containers and Hazrat to make dumb in that. And from there, they started giving the people. We saw Hazrat, our Ari Bilazak, Akhtar Sahib, same thing happened. There were lines of people coming with honey and water and badam. And Allah Ta'ala makes it such, Allah given the qabool maqbooliyat. They never thought of themselves to be pious, no. They always would think of themselves, not just think, believe that they were the weakest. But Allah gave them this type of acceptance and people are coming with that, not to break their hearts, they will read, and Allah Ta'ala should make it said that this effect would be there. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand these mashayikh and the efforts they have made, and so that we can also follow their legacy and bring about some change in our lives. Some change in life. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will protect us, our iman, our progeny, the iman of our progeny, and deen in this country especially. Allah give all of us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.